A corporation is an artificial entity. It is created through a political process. In fact, it requires an action of state government to create the corporation, to issue the charter. And the founding of this country, for 100 years in this country, when a corporation was created, it was limited in time, it was limited in scope, what it was allowed to do. And in fact, if you tried to do anything other than the specific type of business that you had been authorized to do, your corporate charter was revoked. That is to say, the government literally took it away from you for going ultra vires. In Latin, it means beyond the authority, because the founders understood that the concept of limited liability was a privilege, not a right. Our constitutional rights are inherent and inalienable there because we're human beings. But a corporation and the ability to do business with limited liability is a profound privilege. And the founders understood this. And get this.
But the Supreme Court doesn't understand.
Perhaps they do, perhaps they don't, because I will leave it to you to ask, are they really that confused, or are they just ideological? Because I'll tell you, I just come to the determination that the Roberts Court is actually not a principled court. This is a court that is result-oriented, right? They are actually not interested in stare decisis. They are not interested in judicial restraint. In fact, they are not truthful. They say that they believe in a strict interpretation of the Constitution, but a strict interpretation of the Constitution would not allow corporations to have constitutional rights at all.
That's
right? And there is 100 years of precedence for First Amendment law to say very clearly that campaign finance laws are a political question. And it's up to local communities or state governments to make the determination on how to best protect the integrity of the electoral process. Right? So they are not only judicial activists on the side of a corporate ideology, they are also not honest when they say that they have a commitment to stare decisis, which is the things once decided should stay decided, right? I mean, they're just not sincere. But I want to get back to the founding of this country. This is something really important. Because when a corporation was formed, it took an action of state government. The corporate charter was limited in time and scope. And any corporate charter that was issued, if you did anything other than the very specific narrow type of business that you had been authorized to do, your corporate charter was revoked. But get this, even if you were operating in all those ways, if the business did anything that was determined to violate the public trust or the public interest, do you know what happened to the corporate charter? Revoked. Corporate charters were once routinely revoked in this country for merely acting outside the public interest, which leads me to this pop quiz question. Somebody name a single one of the Fortune 500 corporations that could even operate with the political restrictions that our founders once put on them. I'll wait. There is not a single one of the mega transnational corporations that can even operate the way they currently operate with the founders' original intent. Now, I'm not saying that the founders, I'm not a founder fetishist, right? Because I want to actually anchor something. The founders who rejected monarchy as a form of rule, yay that. The founders who said no taxation without representation, yay that. They also codified the enslavement of Africans in that doctrine. The founders also made it clear that women were not persons with inherent and inalienable constitutional rights. So the thing is that we have to be willing to tell the truth. There is a complex history here. But the one thing that I think the founders clearly got right was to understand that this artificial entity known as a corporation was a powerful tool, but it needed to be politically controlled. Right? That's what we've lost. So we may have differences of opinion. You know, I'm an unadulterated progressive, right? I mean, for those of you who don't know, I ran for president of the United States on the Green Party ticket, right? So I'm proud that I'm a Green, but I also frequently work in coalition with Democrats on issues where I've got common ground. I'm a progressive. But you know what? I also work in coalition with libertarians and Republicans when I've got common ground, right? I mean, I will work with anybody, but all I'm saying is that it doesn't matter when you look at polling data what somebody's ideological perspective is, because about 80% of the American people are already in support of the move to amend position. That's polling data, hard polling data. And that number stays basically the same whether they self-identify as a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. That number stays basically the same whether they consider themselves a liberal or a conservative or an independent or a moderate, anywhere in between. There are very few things in our country that actually there is such basically broad support around this. So I don't think that move to amend actually has a hard sell in convincing people that this is what needs to be done. Our real job is to convince people that we have a plan to win. Tomorrow, for those of you, I think everybody here knows that there's going to be a little debate, right? I'm not intending to convince James of anything. I reckon he already has his opinion, right? Mr. Bob already has a deeply held conviction. It's not an opinion that he has. He has a conviction, right? I'm not talking to him tomorrow. I'm talking to the audience. I'm actually trying to actually give people a sense that the worldview that they already have is a majoritarian worldview, and that we can win. And I'm going to conclude with this. The U.S. Constitution has already been amended 27 times. And if you look at it historically, it's about every 30 to 40 years, movements come along that actually make change, like big changes, not just sort of tinkering at the margins changes. And frankly, y'all, we're due. If you look at it from a historical arc, we're due. And at the end of the day, I think that this moment that we're in is our which side are you on moment. Because this isn't a liberal versus conservative argument anymore. This is a corporate versus democratic argument. And in fact, and just a little taste for what I'll try to do tomorrow, the whole framing of liberal versus conservative on the issue of corporate personhood or money of speech is a completely flawed frame. It's actually a conservative versus corporate. Because the big debate, the conservative ideology would actually say it's very clear corporations are artificial entities as the founders intended. Money is property, it's not speech. And in fact, that doctrine was only created in the First National Bank versus Bilotti, actually Buckley versus Vallejo, but it was the 1970s, right? This is a new idea. Thanks so much.